And we're in Exodus chapter 5. Exodus 5. We're going to look at the first 9 verses there. Exodus 5, 1 through 9. Tonight we're going to talk about Moses and Pharaoh. And if you look on your paper, or the little subtitle there is Living with Difficult People. I'm sure you've never had that problem, but probably those who know you have. Oh, did I say that? Living with Difficult People. Exodus chapter 5. The Bible says, and afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And they said, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with a sword. And the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you under your burdens? Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and you make them rest from their burdens. And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, you shall no more give the people straw to make brick, as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tail of the bricks, which they did make heretofore, you shall lay upon them, you shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let their more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein. And let them not regard vain words. Let's pray. Lord, again, we study Moses. We look at his life. And our desire, our goal, is to learn from him. And to learn from you, that we might be better Christians for you. We know there's much we need to learn. We know there's many things we need to implement in our lives as believers. Help us to see those things tonight. Lord, chip away at some of those things that would keep us from being Christ-like. Help us to see those things that you want to change in our lives and be willing to change them. Help us to be clay in your hands, moldable, shapeable. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Living with difficult people. You know, a lot of times we are called or put in a position where we have to deal with some difficult people. The thing is, usually when we're dealing with difficult people, we become frustrated and maybe even respond in anger. Now, we've read this passage, and as we read on and we see how Moses now behaved himself when he dealt with Pharaoh. You want to see that? Secret. All right, we'll put it up there. Moses, all the time he's going and talking to Pharaoh, it just seems like he's keeping his cool. I don't know if I could have done that. I think the Italian in me would have probably showed it so. But Moses, the Bible says, was a meek man. And remember, I said meekness is not weakness. Biblical meekness is strength under control. And that's what Moses displayed. Moses never came back at Pharaoh and reviled him, even though he was provoked many different times. You know, there were 10 times Moses went to Pharaoh, 10 different plagues. And Pharaoh several times said, yeah, I'll let you go. And then he'd go and change his mind. And I can't imagine how frustrated Moses was. But you see, the reason Moses could handle that the way he did was because Moses submitted himself to the Lord and allowed God to deal with Pharaoh in his way and in his time. Moses did not compromise. He held his ground. He didn't yield. He didn't quit. And ultimately, he got the victory. Now we're going to look at several things here tonight. Number one, the appeal of Moses. We saw how Moses was at that burning bush and God told him to go tell Pharaoh, let his people go, and to go tell the Jews he's going to lead them out and all that. And Moses said, I can't do that. I'm slow of speech, and all the excuses he gave and things. But he yielded to the Lord and he said, okay, I'll do it. And now he goes to Pharaoh with the assurance that this is what God wanted him to do. You know something I've learned in my Christian life? If I have assurance this is something God wants me to do, I don't need to fear. Did you get that? On the other side of that, if this is something I'm not sure God wants me to do, maybe I should be concerned. So it's good for us to get God's mind, to get God's leadership, so that we can do whatever we do with confidence and not have to fear. Moses is facing the most powerful man at that time in the world, Pharaoh. And he's doing it without fear. You read about him going before Pharaoh, and we don't find him bowing or quaking or... He just goes in and says what he's supposed to say. In confidence. Now, Moses goes to Pharaoh. And he says, let my people go. That's the message of God. And I like that. I like that he went and told Pharaoh what God said to tell Pharaoh. You know, it'd be good if we had a lot of Christians who would be willing to speak up for the Lord and say what God said. You know, we are his ambassadors. That means we represent him. An ambassador is an authorized representative or messenger. That's what we are. And we have a message. You listen to me? I don't know if you ever get a hold of this. We have a message from Almighty God that we're supposed to deliver. What's the message? Salvation. Jesus saves. That's the message. You can be born again. You can be saved. That's the message. And we need to be willing to proclaim the message. We're not only ambassadors, we're witnesses. A witness is somebody who testifies to what they know. When I go and witness to somebody about the Lord, I'm testifying to what I know. How do I know? Well, number one, I read it and God said it. And number two, I've experienced it. Acts 5:32, and we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost whom God hath given to them that obey him. So think about this. Moses then is the epitome of a good ambassador and a good witness. Because he went and represented the Lord before Pharaoh, and he told him what he was supposed to tell him. He spoke for God. He came in there. He spoke for God. And you know, has God ever had you speak to somebody? I'm not trying to be spooky, but have you ever had that moving of the Holy Spirit in your heart that said, talk to that person? You know, Moses had that in his heart. God told him, go speak to Pharaoh, and he did. And you know, we need to be sensitive to God because a lot of times he'll want us to speak to somebody, and too often we don't do it. We wimp out. Don't look at me that way. I know you do. I do sometimes. And we shouldn't do that. Oh, I'm too busy, or I'm this, or I'm that, or whatever. And you know, the enemy loves that we don't listen to the Lord and witness to people, because he knows what happens when we witness to people. And he likes to use two weapons of the enemy to keep us from following the Lord when he tells us to talk to somebody. Pride. What do you mean pride? If I go trying to talk to this person about the Lord, they're going to think I'm a religious fanatic. That hit home with anybody? They're going to think I'm a Bible thumper. They're going to think I'm just bold, or I'm one of those wackos. And our pride gets in the way. You know the other one that Satan uses? Procrastination. Well, I'll do it another day. I'll do it next time. Number one, he spoke for God. Number two, he gave the message God told him to speak. God said, Moses didn't go in there and say, look, Pharaoh, I'm telling you, let my people go. He went in there and said, God said, let my people go. You know, many times I tell you, it doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter really what you say. What really matters, what does God say? And so when we deal with people, we need to give them God's word. Whenever you have a witnessing opportunity, do your dead level best to get some scripture into these people's hearts and minds. Because that's where the power is. Moses didn't mince words. And I'm amazed, here's a man that stutters, but he didn't mince words. He was direct, and he was clear. He gave a very straightforward message to Pharaoh. God said, let my people go. You know, when we strive to speak for the Lord, we can do so with confidence, knowing it's the Word of God, and knowing this, God has promised that His Word would accomplish what He sends it to accomplish. His Word, He says, would not return unto Him void. Isaiah 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Listen, this book is powerful. I've experienced the power of this book in my own life. This book convicts. This book gives me truth. This book turns the lights on in darkness. It's a powerful book. That's why, you know, a lot of people are afraid of this book. You know that? You don't believe that, I'll tell you what. Get you a Bible about this size and take it to work with you. When I was working at that can company, I told you before, I decided I was going to read through the Bible. And sometimes I would have time to read on my job. If everything was running good, I had a few minutes here and there. Anyway, I bought this Bible about this big. And I put it in my toolbox. They didn't say it to me, but I could tell. He's got a Bible in his toolbox. He's really gone off the deep end now. You know, they would bring all kinds of books I shouldn't be reading. And nobody ever thought anything of that. Nobody ever said, you see what he brought? But bring a Bible. Why? You're afraid of that book. I'm serious. You know, listen, if you're going soul winning, I don't recommend you carry a big Bible. Really? Because a lot of people won't answer the door. Just afraid of that book. We don't have to be afraid. We know it's got power, and that's a wonderful thing. So Moses now is speaking for God. And we know that the Word of God is quick and powerful, the Bible says, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Boil that down, it basically says the Bible can get where no man can get. Down there. So, anytime we're speaking the Word of God and doing it faithfully, whether it's in public preaching, teaching, personal conversation, whatever, we can be assured that what we are doing is what's right, and somehow God's going to use it for His glory. Over in 2 Timothy, Paul tells Timothy, he says, hold fast the form of sound words. These are sound words. So he spoke for God, and he spoke for God's people. We find here that Moses now is going to Pharaoh, and he's representing God, and he's representing God's people. Now, people see Moses as a leader. They see him as this emancipator, so to speak. But you know, he's also a spokesman for the downtrodden. Pharaoh was abusing these people, and Moses was speaking up for these people. And, you know, we need to be careful about the downtrodden and try to take up for those who are downtrodden, the poor, those who are hurting. Moses didn't just feel sorry for his people. He didn't just say, oh, it's so sad that they're being treated that way. He did something about it. He did what he could do. You know, nobody asked, God never asks you to do what you can't do. But he expects you to do what you can do. And a lot of times, we can be a help, we can be a blessing to somebody who's having a hard time, somebody who is downtrodden, so to speak, if we would just put our mind to it. But you know, a lot of times, we kind of want to just turn our head. What would Jesus do? He'd help them. And so Moses is an example. There was a gal named Amy Carmichael. Some of you know the name. She was over in Ireland. And Belfast. And she got this burden for young women who are being abused. And through that, the Lord worked in her heart. And in 1901, God took Amy Carmichael to India. And she began ministering there, and there was a little girl, a five-year-old girl, who really, really just captured her heart. This girl had been sold into prostitution. A five-year-old girl. And Amy took her, hid her, and helped her. And then she spent the rest of her life helping women like that. But you see, here's somebody who gave their whole life to help people, to help the downtrodden, to help the disadvantaged. Surely we can give a little bit of time, a little bit of energy, a little bit of effort once in a while to help somebody we know needs help. Well, notice this. The arrogance of Pharaoh. I don't know about you, but when I read about Pharaoh, I think, boy, this guy's got a lot of guts, doesn't he? Have you ever felt that way? I mean, he kind of thumbs his nose at God. By the way, a lot of people do that today. I mean, they were just so arrogant in the face of God. And it kind of makes you want to. But then you got to, God will take care of it. We'll see that. Well, God blessed Moses. God worked in Moses and through Moses because Moses feared God and kept a humble spirit. Now we see Pharaoh, and he's just the exact opposite. He didn't fear God. And he was very much an arrogant man. No matter what plagues God brought upon Egypt, Pharaoh just would not admit, just would not give in. Just would not say, this obviously is of God. Sometimes we read and we find that Pharaoh would reluctantly say to Moses, well, I'll let your people go. And then when Moses left, he changes his mind and wouldn't let him go. Not until Pharaoh had really, really paid the price with his own son did he finally say, go. Get out of here. And you know, I don't know what was in Pharaoh's heart at that point. I don't know, maybe he was just fed up with the whole thing or what his attitude was, why he just came to that place where he said, get out of here. If it wasn't that I read what happened after that, I'd think, well, he finally became broken. But as we'll see, no, he didn't become broken. He just got frustrated. But you know, people today, we experience people today who are arrogant towards God. And when I thought about that, I couldn't help about thinking about the Titanic. Amen. What arrogance that they said, this is a ship even God couldn't sink. First voyage, where is she? Never made it across the ocean. There was a guy who his name was Tancredo Neves. He ran for presidency in Brazil in 1980. He boldly declared that if he got 500,000 votes from his own party, not even God could keep him from being president. He made that boast. He won the election. He got over 500,000 votes, got over 500,000 votes. But a day later, he got sick and died. And never became president of Brazil. Now, you say, oh, that's just happenstance. You believe what you want. I see it that God took care of that problem. Don't play around with God. The arrogance. God is greater than any arrogance and stubbornness that our human leaders display. By the way, there's a lot of Latin America today. In high places. Well, their day will come. Psalm 2. First five verses. Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Payday is coming. Pharaoh was motivated by his pride. I said he was the most powerful man on earth at that time. We have a leader in America who really is, prior to his presidency, we always considered the President of the United States the most powerful man in the world. I don't know about now. But you know, he needs to remember there's always one who is more powerful. Even more powerful than the most powerful man on this earth. And that's the God of heaven. God over rules and dominions and principalities and powers. Psalm 21:1 says, the heart of the king is in the Lord's hands. As rivers of water, he turneth whithersoever he will. God overrules anytime he wants to. Pride. What is pride? You ever think about that? What is pride? Well, it's having an over-evaluation of yourself, that's for sure. But pride, according to the dictionary, is a feeling that you are more important than other people. I don't know, I kind of think there's a lot of people in this world feel that way. Amen. You work in a grocery store. I've evidenced some people in the grocery store think they're more important than everybody else. Huh? They don't have to park in a parking space. They can go in the 15 only items thing and have 85 items. They can just bump into you and push your cart around and, you know. They can run you over because they're in a hurry and they're important. That's what pride is. Pride says, hey, I'm more important than anybody else. God hates pride. Yes, he does. He says so. Christians need to check their motives and decisions to make sure they're not based on prideful thinking. You know, pride can cripple a Christian. Pride can bring you to a screeching halt in your Christian life as far as growth and maturity and walk with the Lord. Three major symptoms you got a problem with pride. You listening? Number one, contention. Proverbs 31:10. Foolish speaking. Proverbs 14:3. Strife, Proverbs 28:25. You ever been around somebody who just can't seem to get along with anybody? What's their problem? Pride. If you research it, if you watch them, if you watch their life, you'll find out they have a real problem with pride because they can't get along with anybody. Pride is a very damaging sin. Somebody said, nothing does more to hold back revival, to ruin marriages, to corrupt our nation, to send people to hell than the sin of pride. Damaging. And it's a deceptive sin. Somebody said this, most people are quite proud of their humility. How many times have I said, if you think you're humble, you're not? Now, there's a difference between the kind of pride that God hates in Proverbs 8:13 and the kind of pride we feel about a job well done. See, it's okay to take pride in your work, a job well done. But the pride that's wrong is when you think you're elevated over other people. A healthy sense of self-respect is not pride. Appreciation of what others do, that's not pride. The kind of pride that stems from self-righteousness is sin. See, Pharaoh's sitting there on this throne and he thinks, I am unconquerable. Nobody can touch me. I am the most powerful man in the world. Again, little did he know. And we need to understand pride comes from Satan. Pride was the sin that caused Satan to be cast out of heaven. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. I will ascend above the highest of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That's what got him cast out of heaven. A proud look is one of the seven things God hates in Proverbs 6. Pride was one of the things Jesus said defiled a man in Mark 7:20 through 23. John said that the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world that will pass away. By the way, Pharaoh was so proud, he thought his way had to be the right way. The children of Israel ought to yield to him. I've met some people like that. Their way's the right way, the only way. No. And then Pharaoh didn't want to do what God said to do, and he tried to come up with compromises. Have you ever read those? Look at Exodus 8:25. It says, and Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. Moses said, let my people go that we can go and sacrifice. So Pharaoh says, okay, Moses, I'm going to let you sacrifice, but you got to do it here. You're not allowed to go. Moses said, no, we're not going to do that. God said to go. And then in verse 28, chapter 8, and Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only you shall not go very far away and treat for me. Moses says, you can go a little ways, but I'm not going to let you go. You can go sacrifice, but you got to come back. That's what he's saying. Moses said, no, that ain't happening. That's not what God said. God said, let my people go. Look at chapter 10, verse 8. And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, go serve the Lord your God, but who are they that shall go? And Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old, with our sons, with our daughters, with our flocks, with our herds. Will we go? For we must hold a feast unto the Lord. He said unto them, let the Lord be so with you as I will let you go, and your little ones look to it, for evil is before you. Not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire, and they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. Pharaoh said, no, you, the men can go, but nobody else. You thinking? If Pharaoh lets all the men go, you reckon they're going to come back? Their wives and children are still there? Moses said, that ain't happening, we're not going to do that. And so Moses stood his ground. I'm not going to compromise. You know, I'm sick and tired of Christians compromising today. Compromising with the world. Compromising on their standards. Compromising on the Bible. Compromising on church music. Compromising right down the line. I'm sick and tired of it. Why are they compromising? Why are churches compromising? To gain favor from the world. That's why. Why do we want to lower our standards and quit living holy lives? So the world won't laugh at us. So the world won't think we're weird. That's compromise. Why are churches taking the old King James Bible out of their church and putting these new versions in the church house? Because the world says, oh, we'd like the new versions better. They're easier to read. Moses wouldn't compromise. Moses said, no, this is what God said, and this is what's going to be. And then notice this. He was motivated by prejudice. I said he thought his way was the right way. And Moses believed that to compromise and perform the animal sacrifice that God had told him to do, he couldn't do in the land because any Egyptians would be upset because they worshipped animals. And he knew these other compromises weren't going to work. So Moses just stood by the stuff. And the fact is, those who try to take a stand for God is always going to face prejudice. Remember Cain and Abel? Why did Cain kill his brother? Because God accepted his sacrifice and not Cain's. It was prejudice against his brother. How about Joseph? Why did his brother sell him? They were prejudice against him because he was dad's favorite. You say, oh, he shouldn't have a faith. Well, you take that up with God, but that's why they sold him. Gideon. God says, I'm going to use you to lead you out of captivity. What did Gideon say? He said, oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am at least in my father's house. What does that matter? Down through the ages, Christians, those who believe, those who follow God, have been picked on, have been abused, have been persecuted, by the unsaved, and it's still true today. And the fact is this, we in America have really enjoyed a holiday from this. We've had freedom, we've been able to practice our faith, and now the screws are being tightened on us. I don't know if you paid attention, but this week, two states had bills go to their governor that if he would sign, would have protected preachers and Christians and folks from having to yield to the homosexual crowd. Three states had the bill come to their governor. The governor of North Carolina signed it. The governor of Georgia and Virginia wimped out and backed down and would not sign it. Why is it people want to come and tell a fundamental Baptist preacher that he's got to marry queers? Why has our country come to this point? Because this is where it is for Christians. There's an enemy. And he's behind it all. We shouldn't be surprised, though we are. We shake our head, we say, what's going to be next? But history tells us this is the way it's going to go. Unless something drastic happens and things change in the leadership in our country, it's only going to get worse. If the wrong people win this next election, it's going to get a lot worse. And you know who I mean by the wrong people. The anger of God. God is love. God loves you. God loves everybody. Yeah, God is love. And He never changes. The liberals like to yell that, proclaim that. And a lot of our so-called Bible-believing brethren nowadays just want to proclaim that, the love of God. But there's another side of God. God is also a consuming fire. Deuteronomy 4:24. Hebrews 12:29. And do you realize God is a God who can hate? Doesn't Proverbs 6 say these six things doth the Lord hate? Yea, seven are an abomination. Doesn't it say that? I thought it did. Now, with this blatant rebellion against God and this brutal oppression of God's people, Pharaoh brought the wrath of God on himself. His arrogance there. And you know, he thought he was displaying arrogance against Moses. His arrogance was against God because Moses was just saying what God said. By the way, bring that into your own world. When we witness to people and we talk to people about the Lord and they're arrogant and they're abusive and all that, it's not against you. It's against the Lord because you're bringing His message. Don't take it personally. So here's Pharaoh, and he has these arrogant responses. And it stirred God's anger. Jonathan Edwards had a sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. How many of you ever read that? Great sermon. He got it from Deuteronomy 32:35. It says there, the foot shall slide in due time. Jonathan Edwards preached to people how they're hanging over hell. Every person in the world is just hanging over hell, and the only thing that they're hanging by is that thread of grace of God. And one day the grace will end. Pharaoh's time was coming. It was going to come soon. In Exodus 11 there, it says in verse 1, and the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. God was about to bring that plague of death. Death of the firstborn. God said to Moses, tonight I'm coming through. And every firstborn creature in this land is going to die. And then he told Moses, you tell your people to kill a lamb and take the blood of that lamb and sprinkle it on the doorpost and on the lintel of their house, and then get in the house. Because when I come through and I see that blood, I'm going to pass over you. You'll be spared. So Moses took the message. Now, I'm always amazed, and you probably are too, at the patience God showed with Pharaoh. But you know, God's patience only goes so far. Over in Genesis 6, God says, my spirit will not always strive with man. You know, there are deadlines with God that sometimes people step over a line. That's it. Go to Proverbs 29. Verse 1. This is one of those haunting verses. It haunts me. Because it says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. See, to me that verse says there's deadlines. And when you've been reproved and reproved and reproved by God, and you won't submit, and you won't submit, and you won't give in, and you won't give in, deadlines come, and you step over them, and the consequences fall, and there's no way to undo the damage. Go ahead. Harden your neck. I'm not going to listen to that preacher. I don't care what he says. I don't care what the Bible says. I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to listen to the Holy Spirit. Yeah, he bugs me all the time when I go to church and preacher gets on. But I'm not going to listen. I'm going to do my own thing. Go ahead. Deadline's coming. R.G. Lee, great preacher of yesteryear, used to preach a message. It was his noted message. Payday someday. Go ahead. Well, God said to Moses, you tell Pharaoh this. But you know the fact of this? You ever think about this? If Pharaoh would have called Moses back and said, okay, you win. Go. Just go. I don't want that happening. I believe with all my heart, there wouldn't have been any death in Egypt that night. If he would have just repented. If he would have just let God have his way. If he would have just swallowed his pride. But he didn't. Think about this. Because of his pride, his oldest son died. How many of you have children? Can you imagine that guilt? Because of my pride, my child died. That's what Pharaoh had to carry. Not only that, because of my pride, all these people, their first child died. Wow. That's what happened. And again, I believe that he would just repent. Somebody used the illustration of a vehicle. You know, in our vehicles, we have warning lights. You know, when our warning light comes on, it says we should take some action. Your cooling system light comes on, you're overheating. You better do something. Your engine's going to seize. Your oil light comes on, you don't have any oil. Your engine's going to seize. You know, those kind of things. But how many people never They disregard the light came on, but I kept going. Now you burn up the engine. Listen, warning lights go off in our lives. That means we need to heed it. Because something bad's about to happen. The anger of God. Judgment was decreed. God said, okay. And then judgment was delivered. That night it happened. Children of Israel, they're in their houses. I don't know if they could hear the wailing. I don't know if they could hear what was going on. But nothing happened in their neighborhood. God came through. He saw the blood. By the way, every house had to do that. See, this guy couldn't do it for his neighbor. Everybody had to do it. And they did. Just like salvation. You know, we got to get under the blood. I can't get under the blood for you. Or for anybody else. Personal thing. But now the death came. And boy, it changed Pharaoh in a heartbeat. Now he couldn't wait to get rid of him. Now he calls Moses, get out of here, get. And it's interesting how they spoiled the Egyptians before they went. The Egyptians were so anxious to see them go, they gave them their gold and stuff. Go, take whatever you want, just get out of here. Yeah. Pharaoh asked this question. He said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? You know, God took that question very seriously. And the attitude very seriously. And he made sure Pharaoh found out. Who is God that I should obey his voice? You know, we don't always know all the circumstances and things. But I believe with all my heart, there's a lot of people who were arrogant with God. And they, in their heart, asked the same question. Who's the Lord that I should obey him? And they found out. Now, they've never been able to come back and tell us. But I believe there's a lot of people in hell today because they had this kind of an attitude. Mm-hmm. And I believe there's a lot of Christians today who are having a difficult time. A lot of chastening in their life. Because they've got a prideful attitude. Heart full of pride. And they buck up like Pharaoh did. You know, they sing that old Baptist song. I shall not be moved. That's a bad place to be. He that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. And that without remedy. Father, thank you for Moses and the stand that he took with Pharaoh. That he wouldn't compromise and he wouldn't back down and he gave him your word. He spoke for you. And Lord, no doubt it wasn't an easy thing. He was speaking to the most powerful man in the world. He was speaking to a man that if the man decreed that his head should be cut off, it would be cut off immediately. And yet he never wavered. Thank you for that strength. Thank you for that conviction. And thank you for Moses as an example to us. Help us to be your spokesman and never, never compromise your word. To stand firm and fast. To stand even in times of persecution. And be faithful to you. And trust you for the outcome. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.